From the studios of Wavefront Audiovisual Engineering in Schenectady, New York, this is Little Brother, the show where we talk about high technology, low intelligence, crime, greed, corruption, and all of the wonderful things that happen when you mix them together. Like any responsible little brother, we tell on Big Brother. My name is Chuck Ritter, and I'll be your host as we explore this world of the high tech. This is episode 122 of Little Brother for the 11th of March, 2023. Stay tuned. Little Brother is right around the corner. As always, I'd like to remind everyone that the opinions and views expressed in this program are strictly those of the participants, and not necessarily those of anyone else who may, for whatever reason, attempt to claim them. Responsible parties with an opposing viewpoint may request an opportunity for a rebuttal. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can write me at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com, or you can post a message on the blog at littlebrotherpodcast.com. So, let's get started. Well, I told you this was going to happen. In episode 98, I mentioned a mother and daughter who were arrested in Nebraska for attempting to secure an abortion. The initial evidence at the time was messages sent via SMS, the traditional text messages of cell phones, which are not at all secure. However, the new information is that Facebook has provided a key piece of evidence in the trial. Now, as far as it goes, Meta cannot be expected to disobey a valid warrant or subpoena, so of course they're going to make available what they have. But the problem is that they have so much information to begin with. The problem is never that they know you, it's that they know you so well, and they pretty much have to release what they know. The Unified Extensible Firmware Interface, sometimes called the UEFI, UFI, or EFI, I will be calling it the UFI, is the first code that loads when you power on a contemporary computer. This is called the firmware, and it is responsible for taking an inventory of the computer's parts, finding a disk or other device that it can boot from, selecting one if there's more than one option, and then loading and starting an operating system such as Windows, Linux, or Mac OS. Like so many other things, there are ways to update and patch it, and of course that means that the memory that holds it can be written to. Enter Black Lotus. Black Lotus is a recently discovered malware that attacks systems running Windows, and once it's in, it installs itself to the UFI ROM. Once that has happened, you now have a machine that cannot be disinfected by conventional means. You can't simply find and quarantine the files, you can't get rid of it by fixing OS files, you can't get rid of it by formatting the storage and reinstalling the OS, you can't even replace the storage with a new, blank, pristine storage and reinstall. It's on the motherboard, and nothing short of reflashing the motherboard will clear it out. I wanted something new to worry about. How about you? AI has become the new hotness as of late. It's not like AI is new in and of itself, but it seems to have suddenly reached a critical mass in terms of usability, and now everybody wants to incorporate it into their products. As I mentioned a few weeks ago, Microsoft has introduced a ChatGPT-based interface into their search engine, Bing. Not to be outdone, privacy-oriented search engine DuckDuckGo has now done the same thing, offering a service called Duck Assist. The company has, right along, offered a feature called Instant Answers, which are usually based on Wikipedia and appear to the right of the main listing of search results. They are envisioning that Duck Assist will be a new variation on that theme. The feature is currently available as a beta test. 2 weeks ago, I made mention of the fact that Signal Private Messenger and its parent company, OpenWhisper Systems, would not weaken their security or encryption in response to a new law in the UK, stating that they would instead simply stop offering services in the UK. This week, news comes that WhatsApp have joined with Signal in this declaration. Like Signal, if Boris Johnson's bill becomes law, and yes, he is the bill's sponsor, if Boris Johnson's bill becomes law, then like Signal, WhatsApp will simply stop offering services in the UK. Until a few days ago, most people in most parts of the country had not heard of Silicon Valley Bank. On Friday, it collapsed. The bank was having some financial trouble, but made the mistake of publicly stating that they will be all right as long as there is not a run on the bank. This, of course, caused a run on the bank. One of the organizations that is likely to have lost money in this is Roku, who had approximately a quarter of their cash assets in Silicon Valley Bank, although they have stated that they will be okay. And those are the headlines. You're listening to Little Brother. Here we are again. It's time for another round of Who Got Pwned This Week. We have two this week. First up, we have Acer. Threat actors have put on sale a bundle of 160 gigabytes of data, which they claim was collected from Acer in a breach. Acer have confirmed the breach and stated that the breached system was used to store documents for technicians. The company is still investigating what happened, but have assured the public that customer data was never at risk. However, there is an organization called DC HealthLink, which is the health plan administrator for the House of Representatives, including members and staff and their families, and yeah, they were pwned. The attackers got away with the personally identifiable information of enrollees numbering in the thousands. An investigation is underway, led by a certain federal bureau whose primary role it is to do investigations. You could probably figure out who that is. I am sick and tired of older generations giving younger generations shit. It's gone on forever, of course. My generation were called slackers, unless we were being ignored or advertised at. I wanted to learn, but nobody wanted to take the time to show me what I wanted to learn, only the routine things, which is why I was a terrible student until after high school. My dad had so many skills that he could have taught me, but no patience to teach them. But this is not about Gen X. This is about Gen Z, the Zoomers. A couple of hit pieces have come out in the past couple of weeks about Gen Z and what happens when you put them into an office environment where they have to deal with office tech. What do these hit pieces say? Well, the one from PCGamer.com headlines, quote, "Young workers don't know how to use office printers, scanners, ancient desktop PCs," end quote. The Guardian makes them sound even more pathetic with, quote, "Scanners are complicated. Why Gen Z faces workplace tech shame," end quote. Clearly there was a slow news day because that is a load of horseshit. Let me drop some news on you. Printers suck. Scanners suck. That is a fact. The problems range from hinky drivers to poor construction to stupid interlocks, like requiring there to be yellow ink in order to print black and white, or requiring that there be any kind of ink in order to scan, to, and this is my favorite one, chipped ink cartridges so that the printer will refuse to use a refill, refurb, or third-party cartridge. That, my friends, is the opinion of a Gen X techie who has been around printers for 40 years. Printers suck. Scanners suck. I spoke to a few friends of mine in adjoining generations, got the same message unanimously. One in particular, an early millennial, bought a Xerox commercial printer for his own personal use 2 years ago. And after 2 years of back and forth with Xerox, 2 years of site visits, 2 years of phone calls and emails and chats and tech support tickets and forum posts, 2 years of that bullshit, and he still doesn't have a working printer. Printers suck. It's got nothing to do with the generation. As for the desktop computers, let's be clear about a thing here. We put phones and tablets and Chromebooks in the hands of millennials and Zoomers, and we expected them to just, I guess, absorb or something, the knowledge about how all this shit works. How many Gen Xers can tell you how a TV or a game console or a telephone works? We grew up around that shit. Surely we must be able to understand how it works, right? Surely we picked it up by osmosis. Of course we didn't. Those of us who learned how these things work, and I'm telling you this as somebody who did, most of us who learned how these things work did so by choosing to look into it. We went to the library and we found books and we read them. We asked questions whenever we found somebody who knew how these things work. Or we didn't. And if we didn't, we didn't learn how these things work. And that's perfectly okay. But you'll notice, when I said we put a phone or a tablet or a Chromebook in the hands of kids, did you notice what I didn't say? We didn't put into their hands a real, full-powered, fully capable computer. Phones and tablets and Chromebooks are a walled garden for a large part. I mean, for fuck's sake, people, getting one of these devices to just let you browse the real directory structure is like pulling teeth, if it's even possible. These aren't computers. They're sanitized versions of computers designed for anyone to use. And that wouldn't be a problem, except that this is not what you will encounter in the workplace. So I put it to you. If you, as a Gen Xer or as a boomer, if you do not like the way the Zoomers have come out, I want you to put down the remote, stand up, and walk into the washroom. Look in the mirror. I want you to look deep into your eyes. And the reason I want you to do this is because if you aren't happy with the way that the younger generations have turned out, you need to confront those responsible for that. I'm sure that everyone listening has heard of a scam where a person calls you, pretends to be your, I don't know, son, daughter, nephew, niece, cousin, grandchild, whatever, claims to be in trouble and needing money to bail out or to get home or something like that. In order for this to work, up to this point, the credibility of it has depended on the overall low fidelity and sometimes downright crappy sound of a telephone. Well, either that, or it depends on the mark having bad hearing. Otherwise, one would hope that you would recognize the voice of anyone who might be reaching out to you for help. The good news here is that the sound quality of telephones has been getting better for the last 10 years or so, and has reached levels that, while still not truly high fidelity, they are nonetheless crisp and clear and beautiful as long as you have good reception. They sound way better than they did in the landline days, and that's saying a lot. However, the scammers have discovered a new tool, AI. As it turns out, AI now provides the ability to produce a persuasive deepfake replica of your loved one's voices, manners of speech, etc. So the OPSEC tip for this week is this. If a loved one calls you to send money, talk to them for a few minutes. Ask them some questions. Take some steps beside the sound of their voice to find out if it's really them. Make sure, before you go out and empty out your life savings. As usual, we'll end this week's show with the fail of the week. This week's fail goes to our returning champion, Twitter. The term API stands for Application Programmer Interface. It's functionally a lot like a user interface, but the presentation is not intended for human use, but for use by other applications. When you use an app in a web browser, you get the user interface. But when you use it on, say, a phone or a tablet, where you've got a dedicated app, that app will talk to the API. If you want a concrete example, go to www.littlebrotherpodcast.com and you'll see the human interface for this podcast. The top article pinned there talks about an RSS feed. If you click on the link in that article, you will be greeted by an impenetrable wall of text. That's the API for your podcatcher and for the various syndicating services that I use, such as Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, that they use that to get info about this podcast. It's not there for your use, but for the use of the machines. Within organizations, APIs may be used to string together various apps that make up the service that they provide, and such is the case with Twitter. Reddit user EclecticIndividual99 reports that, for a brief period, Twitter blocked access to their API from the application that presents the human user interface. The practical upshot is, users who access Twitter through a web browser were not able to do so. I seriously wonder sometimes how good of a grouping they get with all the times that they've shot themselves in the foot recently. Little Brother is produced, recorded, edited, and hosted by yours truly, Chuck Ritter. Special thanks to Fungaboo and the crowd at Helix for web hosting support. Shout out to the Albany 2600 group. Special thanks to Ed, Fungaboo, Daryl Arrington, Azriel, and Free Scholar Family Tree for story leads. Our headline music is Adrenochrome by Super Action 80. Our Who Got Pump music is Analog Summer 3 by Asarhad. Our Fail of the Week music is Space Reggae by Zap. Our opening theme music and bumper is Around Chaos by Heatseeker, and our closing theme is Space Debris by Captain Image. If you have questions or comments about this podcast or want to join the conversation, please drop me an email at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com or post a message on the blog at littlebrotherpodcast.com. Join us next week when Little Brother tells on Big Brother once again. Stay safe and be well. In episode 98, I mentioned a mother and daughter who were, let's start that one again, was messages sent via SMS. The traditional text, and it is responsible for taking an inventory. You take the high road and I'll take the low road. Like Signal, if Boren Johnson,